Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Bless our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept us among the living.
And has not let our bodies be slain.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let us worship God.
The first lesson this morning is from Acts 17, 22 through 31. Listen for the word of God. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of the human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Listen for the word of God. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But even if you do suffer for doing, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He is put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water, and baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of the Lord.
For today's sermon, I will be using the passage we read from Acts, in which Paul goes to Athens and talks to the Athenians about their statue of an unknown god. The title of my sermon is Profiles of God. It's been 3.5 months since I've posted a picture on my Instagram account. 3.5 months since I scrolled through my feed. 3.5 months since the app has been present on my phone. This is the longest that has happened since I made my account in fifth grade. Now, I know what you may be thinking, and I want to stop you right there. No, it's not because I don't have any Insta-worthy pics to post, or because I'm at a loss for the technological resources to obtain those. It's because of me. I've always considered social media a sizable part of my life, ever since I was 9. It was the way I kept in touch with my friends, the way I could make myself into who I wanted to be rather than who I actually am. The way I could flaunt the parts of myself I was proud of and strategically conceal my insecurities. I didn't realize this as much when I was younger, but as I got older, I started to view the world in my own way, and all I found was a game. The more skin you show, the cooler you make yourself come across as, the more likes, the more praise, and the more attention you'll receive. It's a game of picking and choosing, Whichever photo you think you look the best in is the one that gets posted and viewed, while the ones where the camera might have captured an unwanted insecurity of yours gets thrown away, diminishing anything about you that's raw. You could scroll through someone's feed with only a few swipes of your thumb and think they're the coolest person in the world, even though those photos in no way will ever be an accurate representation of a person and who they actually are. And the thing is, just like we create these personas of ourselves that never capture the whole picture, the real picture, we tend to do the same thing for God. We create a profile of God that looks the best to us, which usually means we create a profile that looks like us. And as things go in this world, the profile created by the people with the most power is the profile that takes hold and then has power. At least in the environment I've grown up in, I learned to depict God as an old white straight man with a long beard and a robe. It is, in fact, what's on the front of all the youth Bibles in my house for me and all my siblings. Though that is in no way the whole truth of who God is. Since we know we are created in God's image, we know God encompasses all identities, every race, sex, ethnicity that there is. One of the most memorable things I did in confirmation was go to a mosque to get to know an interfaith partner and see how others in this world worship and believe. We learned a lot about Islam and why Muslims believe what they believe. The sheikh who was talking to us, used some of the time to talk about his beliefs that women are inferior and that the LGBTQ community is sinful, and that these two groups are responsible for all that is wrong with the world. I left having learned great things about my religion and horrible things about how religion can be used. Then I had to start thinking about how Christians are guilty of the same thing. A lot of churches around the world are just as patriarchal and homophobic. I understand this has even been true for the Presbyterian Church in our history. The reason this happens in our religions is because, just like I created an Instagram profile that only showed certain sides of who I am, we create a limited profile of God. Usually this profile matches what the most powerful people in our society look like. The profile on the front of the children's Bibles: male, white, and straight. When we try to create God in our own image, we make it as if God is only in our favor and agrees with our own beliefs. And then we take this profile of God that we have created and give it power. We say, if God looks like us, then your identity must be wrong or sinful. In essence, we bully people by claiming God is like us, and therefore that God is on our side. Think of all the ways we do this. This is how so many religions and religious people think it is somehow okay to control women's bodies. They say, well, if God is a man, then men are superior to women. As a result, the realities of very few women in leadership positions, unequal pay, and slut-shaming are allowed to continue. And then we try to change and show ourselves in a way that fits what we are told we must be. Just like I used to do with my Instagram pictures. The same things are done based on race, class, sexuality, and on and on. I think we can learn something today from Paul in today's passage. We learn in other parts of Acts and in Paul's writing that he is figuring out how to teach other people about God. There's this big debate over whether or not new followers of God have to take on a Jewish identity, since the Jews were considered the people of God. Paul ends up deciding that other people don't have to become Jews in order to be children of God. He then takes the leap of logic to say that if people can have identities that don't match his own and still be created in God's image, then God can be described in different ways than had ever been done before. So he didn't go to this unfamiliar place and say, God looks like me and I have all the truth. You must be wrong. You must be sinful. He does not judge them because of who they are or what they look like or what they believe. Instead, he finds something that is valuable to them and explains that they also have some truth. They have this statue to an unknown God, and Paul sees that his God can appear to them in this way. Paul gets it. God is bigger than one single profile. He says, since we are God's offspring, we ought to not think like deity is like gold or silver or stone. an image formed by the art and the imagination of mortals. When we start to question other identities in comparison to our own with the basis of faith, we cannot use God's identity to justify our harmful God encompasses them all and lives and loves them all. And the beauty is, when God became human, he showed this radical inclusive love. Instead of slut-shaming, he became close friends with sex workers. Instead of accepting the way society cast people to the outside, he spent time with lepers, Samaritans, the poor, and the hungry. He loved all of the people and all of us so much that he gave his life. He loves us, even knowing our insecurities and the things we try to hide. And this is the good news of Jesus Christ today, that we can be so much more than those limited images in our online profile show. We can be our full selves. We are humans, children of God, living and breathing with a fullness that no single picture can capture. And that is how we must approach others also. As the passage states, we are God's offspring, all of us. God includes us and shows the beauty in everybody, who they are both online and offline. And just like someone's online profile, whether it is Instagram, Facebook, or anything of the sort, cannot tell you who they are and what they truly look like, we must not limit God to the profiles we create. Right now at school, I'm acting in a play written by my classmate called Hell Hath No Fury. And guess who's playing God? Me. Instead of that whole old white straight man with the beard and the robe, God is written in as a strong, independent woman. This doesn't mean God can't also look like that man. It means that God's full identity also includes mine, just as God's full identity includes yours. This is the message Paul was giving to the Athenians when he said, He who is Lord of heaven and earth does not live in shrines made by human hands. God cannot be contained by the temples and shrines, the statues, and yes, the profiles we make. God is bigger than all of that. God's love is bigger than all of that. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. out to the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil but for evil, but overcome evil with good. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.